All right, let's begin actually by standing for a prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, dear Lord, as we stand in your presence, just for being able to stand before you and being able to call you our Father, being able to come into your house, partake of your holy body and your precious blood. Lord, we thank you for calling us your children, and we thank you for this great season that we're in, that we prepared to receive you into our lives in a new way, in a special way. Thank you for the healing that you have come to give us. And I pray, dear Lord, that today you would come and give us like a little bit of a touch from you and give us a little bit of that healing from you. Give us a little bit more of you this day, dear Lord. Let us see you in a new way this day. Through our Lord, our God, our Savior, and our King, Jesus Christ. Hear us as we pray thankfully. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Through Christ Jesus our Lord, thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Okay. Okay, so today we're kind of in between series, okay? So I wanted to kind of talk about something that came to me recently. Okay, so of course, once Thanksgiving comes, you're technically in the Christmas season, but somehow when you see the snow on the trees and it coming down, then you really feel like Christmas, right? That really brings the Christmas spirit when you get some snowfall. So, you know, this week has been like Christmas and snow days and two-hour delays and stuff like that. So I wanted to talk about something that's very applicable during the Christmas season. Most people think that Christmas season is the happiest time of year. A wise man once said that life is full of seasons. Just as the calendar is full of seasons, you know, fall, winter, and spring, and summer, life has many seasons as well. Sometimes in life, it's sunny, everything is good. Sometimes in life, you see the clouds coming. Sometimes in life, it's snowy, and it's raining really hard, and it's windy, and there's all kinds of different stuff that happens. Just like the weather outside, the seasons of life tend to be outside of our control as well. What I want to talk about today is, there's a certain season that, once we kick off the Christmas season, like I said, everyone thinks Christmas is the happiest time of year. But you will be surprised. The Christmas is actually the most depressing time of year. And you can read statistics, okay, and I don't have any, but I'm sure they're out there because I've seen them, about the number of suicides, and the number of depression, the number of this and that. Like, the spike that takes place in the December time period is beyond your imagination around the holidays. The thing with this particular season is, it's the kind of season where you see everyone else as happy. The guy on the TV is buying his wife a diamond thing, okay? The kid on the TV is hugging his mom and his dad. Everything is good on the TV, and everything is happy, and singing Christmas carols, and open fire, and you'll shoot your eye out, and all this. It's a great season, and everyone is happy all around us, or at least so we think. But what happens when we see that around us, but our life is not sunny, and our life is going through a difficult time? What I want to talk about today is the season of loneliness. And it's a season that is the most common season in our lives, especially amongst our age group. When I talk about loneliness, some people are going to say, oh yeah, for the single people. I ain't talking about for the single people. This is just as applicable to the single people as to the lonely people, as to the popular people, as to the unpopular people, as to the poor people, as to the rich people, as to the church people, as to the not church people. Because it's one of those seasons that comes upon us, and the worst part about this season is it looks like it's just upon me. You ever seen the Peanuts cartoon with Charlie Brown? That guy who's got the cloud of dust over him, okay? Sometimes, especially during this time of year, the season of loneliness comes and it's rainy in my place and it looks like everyone else is sunny and that cloud is just following me all around and I can't seem to get out of that cloud. That turns a bad season into a miserable season, into an unbearable season. And that's why, like I said, is that the rate of suicide gets really high during this time. We're going to talk about a season that I promise you that everyone here has gone through. And if you haven't gone through it, and you are not going through it now, I would warn you that it may be right around the corner for you. If you're smart, okay, it may not be raining on your house today. It may not rain tomorrow. It may not rain the next day. But if you're smart, you would go buy an umbrella before the day it rains. Because if you've ever been in D.C., stuck in the rain, you know that the guy on the side of the road selling umbrellas for $2.99 when it's sunny sells them for $8.99 when it's raining. Or whatever the price may be. The price goes up, okay? Maybe more than $8.99, I don't know. The point is that you may be in a sunny season of your life right now, and that's good. I'm happy. I hope it lasts, but I know it's not going to last. I know that the rain is going to come. So what we want to talk about today is how to get through the rainy season, if we're in it, or how to prepare for the rainy season if we're in a sunny season, because we know that's going to come. What do I mean by the season of loneliness? First thing, let's back up and try to come up with an understanding of when I say lonely. What do I mean? Because lonely does not equal alone. Lonely does not equal alone. Okay? Sometimes you can be surrounded by people and feel extremely lonely. A classic example, a kid in a mall who's lost. Lost his mommy and his daddy. Surrounded by people, very alone. So loneliness does not equal not having anything around you. If you look, where did loneliness originally come from? The first sign of loneliness was actually at a time, the very, very beginning, when came and Adam was created on this earth. Y'all remember the story in Genesis chapter 1 and 2 of creation. God created the heavens and the earth and said, it is good. God created the moon and the stars and said, it is good. God created the animals and the trees and the birds and the flies and said, it is good. God created Adam and said, it is very good. Not just good, but very good. So it had been good, 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 and very good. Sounds like a great scenario. But then God looked from heaven and said he found something not good. How could there be something not good if everything around was good? I always say that it doesn't make sense how Adam was lacking anything. Everything was good around him. The weather was good. The animals behaved. There was no traffic. There was no taxes. There was no bills to pay. Like, what could be wrong? What could be the problem? Well, God looked from heaven and said there's a big problem. Genesis 2:18. It is not good. The first time the Bible says not good that man should be alone. God made Adam a certain way, the same way he made us, which is that when we are alone, okay, in a literal sense, or, like I said, not just in a literal sense, but in a more figurative sense, something is not good and something is not right. Sometimes we think that loneliness is a bad thing if the result of sin or not being spiritual or not being whatever. Did Adam commit any sin at this point in time? Was Adam doing anything wrong at this moment in time? There have not been any sin on the earth. Adam was doing everything just fine, but he was lonely. So it shows that loneliness is an emotion. It's not necessarily a sin. Okay? Now what you do based on that emotion may be a sin, but the fact that you go through times of loneliness or you times of raininess or times where you feel like let me describe to you what the season of loneliness is. That's when you feel like you may have many people around you, but no one really next to you. Where you may feel like you have many people who talk to you, but no one who's listening to you. You may feel like even God himself is helping that guy and that guy and that guy and that guy. But for me, it's like he's not even there. It's not a sin to go through a time of loneliness. Okay? Adam went through it and all of us go through it. We've been made that way. Remember the 12 campaign? That's what we discussed. We were made for relationships. We're not made, okay, to be on our own. We're going to look today at a time in the life of a great man, St. Paul, when he had gone through kind of a lonely time. We're going to look in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And it's on your handout. It's not up on the screen because it's a very long passage. And we're going to kind of look at bits and pieces of it there. But in this chapter, we have the last words of the great St. Paul. St. Paul wrote many epistles in his life. Okay, the last epistle he wrote was the second epistle to Timothy. This was his last one, and he wrote it as he knew he was about to die and be executed by Nero in Rome. And this is the last chapter of the last epistle that was written by St. Paul. These are the words of a dying man. Now, before we read what it says, St. Paul was a good guy. St. Paul was a great guy. He's better than all of us combined. How should a guy like this go out? A guy like this should go out on top. God should honor him as he's leaving this earth. God should let him to go out like in a blaze of glory, or like on some kind of where everyone is acknowledging him and telling him how he's great, and God is comforting him, and God says to him, enter into the joy of your Lord. That's how we want it to be. A royal procession out. I want you to see how St. Paul leaves this earth. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica, Crescens for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry. And Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. Bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas when you come, and the books, especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. You also must beware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that the message might be fully preached through me, and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever. Amen. Greet Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Aristastus stayed in Corinth, but Trophimus I have left in Miletus sick. Do your utmost to come before winter. And those mark the final words of the great St. Paul. The tone in St. Paul's writing here is clearly different than all of his other writings. Here you have a man who knows he's about to die. Like in other places, he talked about how death is a good thing and he can't wait to die because he gets to go up to heaven and be with Christ. But here, you don't see that same spirit. Here you see a man who knew he was on his way out and everyone had left him. And he was all by himself in a lonely prison, in a stinky place, no one to stand by him, and he was lonely. Let's look at the causes, like kind of the factors that played into St. Paul's loneliness right here. Four causes or four factors. Number one, what brings upon the season of loneliness oftentimes is change. Okay? St. Paul, for the first time in his life, faced a new phase in life. And that phase was death. Many times he had been almost killed. Many times he had been persecuted. But this time, he knew he was done. Oftentimes in life, we go through change, transitions, seasons of moving from one job to another, one house to another, one city to another, one relationship to another. And just like when the weather outside changes rapidly, you know, when the weather changes from hot to cold, everyone gets sick. Okay, when the season of change is upon us, oftentimes we get sick spiritually or emotionally as well. You know why? Because every time something changes in your life, this is a basic principle. If something changes, means you are gaining something, but you are also losing something. That's what change equals. You move from this spot to this spot. So you gain the advantages of this spot, but you lose the advantages of that spot. Anytime you get something new means you must be giving something up that from the old. And it also means that you're going to experience something that maybe you've never experienced before. Think back to yourself, okay? Your first day at a new job. Your first day at a new school. I remember for me, not when I moved away to college. Yeah, whatever. Not even when I started high school. You know when one I remember it so vividly was when I moved from fourth grade to fifth grade, okay? Because in my school, okay, when you move from fourth grade to fifth grade, there was two, like, floors. There was the downstairs floor where there was kindergarten through fourth grade, and then there was the upstairs, grade 5 through 8. And I'm telling you, we used to walk around downstairs, and we would see them stairs that led up. And honestly, it was like a black hole existed up there. None of us ever dared go up there, okay? Because there was rumors of what happened to the younger kids when they went up there. There was rumors of wedgies and hangings and beatings and all kinds of stuff that happened up there. And I remember it was dark. The stairs had like covered with this black thing and the doors were black and you're just so scary to go up there. And I remember the day we started fifth grade and all of us said, okay, let's go. Okay, and we were going to trudge on up there. And I remember going up there. The chairs are really high. The doorknobs are higher. The teachers are taller. The kids are like giants. It's like being in another land up there. This was one of the scariest days of my life. I still remember it very vividly. And all I remember thinking is, I don't want to go there. Okay? I like it better down here. Oftentimes, a new experience or a change brings upon that same feeling. That's what happened with St. Paul. That's what he's saying right here. He's saying right there, I've been poured out as a drink offering. The time of my departure is in hand. I'm about to enter a new phase called departure. And he knew that his days were numbered. It is important that you realize, like I said a minute ago, loneliness is not a sin. In and of itself, loneliness is not a sin. Like I said, your response to it could be. And what you do when you have that feeling could absolutely be a sin. But just the fact that you feel that way is definitely not a sin. St. Paul felt it. I felt it back in fourth grade. You feel it all the time. An emotion cannot be a sin. Just like I have an emotion right now of hunger. Okay? It is not a sin for me to... I woke up this morning hungry. It's not a sin to wake up hungry. It may have been a sin if I had acted on that hunger and had me a nice hamburger or something like that. Then now we're talking about sin. But just to feel hungry is not a sin. If it did, we'd be in big trouble. Okay? So it's not a sin to be lonely either. So you should expect that you're going to go through times of loneliness, especially when there's change. Number two factor that we see with St. Paul is separation. When we are separated or isolated from those people who we care about or are close to us. And again, you see this very clearly when you have to travel for business or when a job takes you away from the people that you like to spend time with or when an illness has taken someone else away or something like that. Just to show you how St. Paul is very human, two times in this passage he shows how much he missed another human being. Look in verse 9. I'll put it up there. Okay, in verse 9 and verse 21. He says, be diligent to come to me quickly. And then in verse 21, do your utmost to come before winter. St. Paul was reaching out to Timothy, saying, please come visit me. Come quickly. I miss you. I'm low. Wait, St. Paul is the giant, the strong guy, the guy who stands up and gets beat down and all that kind of stuff. Nothing. Like, he's a man's man. But he's saying, come visit me quickly. Come before winter, before it gets cold. Make no mistake about it. St. Paul was a people person. And what you see in the writings of St. Paul is that everywhere St. Paul went, every city, like you see here, he had like an entourage. Okay, St. Paul would get off the airport in a city and he'd have an entourage of people just waiting for him and he would hang out with them and spend time with them and move on to the next city. Then he had his disciples right there. Look in verse 10 says, he talks about Cretans in Galatia, Titus in Dalmatia, Tychicus in Ephesus. Skip down to verse 20. Aristastus in Corinth, Trophimus I've left in Miletus. In verse 19, Prisca and Aquila. He's going and listing all these people that he misses and that he wants to spend time with. These were his traveling buddies. Unless you're a monk, which none of us are, okay? Monks are exceptions to the rule. But all of us are made according to the rule that Adam, it is not good for man to be alone. Now, with that said, it's definitely good at times to be alone. And every one of us wants to be alone for times. But when that time gets extended, we should expect that, like I said, is that we'll go through this kind of rainy season at kind of a difficult time. And you know where I see that very often? I see that here. Because the thing about the D.C. area is it's a very high, what's it called? Transition area. Transit area. Transit, that's the word. Transit area. There's a lot of people, and I'm sure right here, here for 2 years of dental school. Here for, 15 years of medical school, whatever it may be, okay? or here for this internship for the summer, or here for this and that. I'm just looking around here, and there's like 10 people I can see who fit that category. Or people who are here just for a couple years, something like that. That can be one of the most difficult 2 years of your life. If you're here kind of alone and separated, you say, oh, what's the big deal, and I'll make friends, this and that. Did you know that in America, 26% of Americans move every year? Okay? 26% every year, this country, a quarter of the people pick up and move to a new place. We look at that and say that's good, independence, you know, people moving and stuff like that, but you got to realize, as much as we pride ourselves on independence and being an independent country, there's a cost for independence, or a price, and the price is often loneliness. And it's great that people can pick up and move and here and there and opportunities here and there, but just be wise. Realize that independence, we are the most independent country, we're also the most lonely country. And especially when I look at, like, I'm going to look at, like, the younger generation, okay? Our generation, I'm making myself younger, is the most independent generation. People who move out before they've even finished college, okay? And we're very independent, we do whatever we want. But it's also the loneliest generation. Be careful, okay? The two are often tied together. Number three, you see with St. Paul, he was facing opposition. He was under attack, and people were attacking him. Look in verse 14 and 15. It says, Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. He's speaking now about, okay, right before this, basically he was on trial, and he was defending himself and stuff like that, and apparently there had been some people who didn't stand by him. Apparently one of the guys' name is Alexander the coppersmith. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. You also must beware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. It doesn't say what Alexander does. But I mean, we can guess. Maybe he told lies about St. Paul to get him in trouble. Maybe he stabbed him in the back. Maybe he was supposed to meet him to help him. Who knows what he did? But he did something that isn't very nice, okay? And he hurt St. Paul right here. It's painful to be alone. But to be alone and attacked, that's the worst feeling in the world. I'm not a softie by any means. Okay? Not a softie. But one thing that brings out everything that I have inside me is a bully to attack a person who can't defend themselves. A person who's lonely. I'm not even talking about physically. Okay? I'm talking about emotionally. Nothing makes me more angry than to see that. I don't know why. I wasn't like picked on when I was a kid. I don't know. But for some reason, that to me is the worst thing in the world. Y'all are going to laugh. Okay? But I'm serious. We have a crisis going on with this right now in my house. My son Michael. Okay? You're going to laugh. Okay? But I'm trying to hold myself together here. He's 2 years and 10 months. Okay? So he's not even three yet. He goes, and my wife goes to this gym. Okay? Over on Centerville. And the best thing about the gym is they have like this daycare, okay, where they take care of the kids. Lifetime Fitness over there. Mention my name, get a discount. Oh, no, I'm just joking. At the beginning, Michael didn't like the daycare, so whatever. Then he started to like it. And in fact, he loved it. He loved to play with this, he loved to play with that. Came home the other day, okay, and he said, I don't like gym. Why, Michael? This and that. No, you like gym. We just kind of ignored it. Next day, Marianne's going to go to the gym. Michael flipped out. I'm not going to the gym. Why, Michael? And he said, the kid told me go. He said, the boy told me go. Said, what do you mean the boy told me go? He kept saying, the boy told me go. He flipped out, whatever. We just ignored it. Next day, she tried to go to the gym again. He said, the boy told me go. So I sat down with him, and I'm trying to, like, reason with him. What happened? Hold yourself here. He was playing on the slide, and the big kids told him, go home. Yeah, you're telling me. Believe me, if I knew who these kids were, okay, believe me, I told them, let's go to the gym together, okay? And we will handle our business, okay? And me and him, who said go home? I'm not, okay, joking aside, honestly, this really hurt. And the poor kid was sad, he didn't want to go to the gym anymore. And the kids told him, I don't know what kind of hooligans is going on at this gym or what kind of deviants or what they have at this gym, okay? But these kids told him, you're too small, go home. We asked the teacher doesn't know anything. The teacher's in another world, whatever she may be. It broke my heart. The thought of these big kids picking on my boy, okay, and telling him to go home. They say that sticks and stones will break your bones, but words will never hurt you. Whoever made that up is wrong. He's backward. He's wrong. Because I see many people get hit with sticks and stones. The bones may break and the bones get healed. But those emotional ones, those are the ones that's painful. That's what St. Paul is going through right now. He's all by himself. He's separated from his loved ones. He's in a period, he knows he's about to die. And then some guy stabs him in the back. Do you know what that feels like? My guess is it's not that foreign to you. Maybe not to that degree, but all of us have been in a state where we know what it's like to be hurt like that, and we know the feeling that comes with it. Being picked on is bad. Going through it alone is much worse. To be picked on in a group isn't as bad as to be all by yourself and then get picked on. You know where I see this so damaging? I just came back from a high school retreat last night, high school boys retreat. These are high school boys who are, they're high school boys, you know what I mean? Like, nothing bothers high school boys. I mean, you could throw them through a window and they would think it's cool. Like, nothing bothers them. But when I pull that high school boy and I close the door and we sit and talk and he tells me about what the kids do in school to him, it breaks your heart. And I'm telling you, kid, if it was just one kid, okay, I'd let it go. But when I see kid after kid after kid talk about it, it breaks my heart to see it. Do you know what it's like to be this guy singled out, embarrassed, misunderstood, criticized, whatever? That's how St. Paul is feeling right now. Add on top of all those three things, what is probably the worst and would lead him to the most pain was opposition led to rejection. Not only opposed by his enemies, but rejected by the people he thought he could count on. Verse 10. Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica. Crescens for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. Only, look in verse 11, only Luke is with me. He's saying right here, he had three guys who at a time stood next to him. And even those guys sold him out. Here's what I want you guys to understand. Is that you and me were designed by God, okay? By God, designed to have a need to be accepted, okay? I'm the first one. It's not a sin. I'm the first one who, if every single one of you comes here right now, lines up and says, Boone Anthony, I think you're a failure. I think you're a jerk. I'm the first one who's going to go home and be sad. I'd love to say, yes, I'm very spiritual. I don't care what people think. I only care what God thinks. I would love to say that. It's not true. I could say that, and it would be a flat-out lie. Because we were made to want to be accepted by others. It's not bad. Like I said, it may be bad what you do to get that acceptance. Absolutely. But to have this need inside of you, an emotional need that every one of us has, is not bad. And St. Paul was going through that right now. You know how great our emotional need to be accepted is? It is so great that you will be shocked at some of the things you will do to fill it. You'll be shocked. You see people out there, okay, all of us have this need. And if it's not met in the right way, we'll do anything to get it. The workaholic, who works 800 hours a week, okay, to get his promotion, make himself feel like a big man so people say, hey, you're very good at what you do. The materialistic guy, who is empty, but maybe if I surround myself by possessions and material things and cool clothes and a cool car, people say, wow, that's a cool guy. Then people will accept me. Alcoholism, drugs, immoral relationships. There are some people out there who know what they're doing, let's say like in the sexual realm, is immoral, is wrong, is bad. They want to stop it. But the feeling of just having someone next to me is like addictive. People will do anything to fix this. All of us at some point in time are going to go through a season of loneliness. Question for us is what to do with it. St. Paul gives us like a formula here of what to do when you go through the season of loneliness. Because what you see with St. Paul is that while he was down, he was not out. While he was impressed but not crushed, persecuted not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. Okay, while he was struck down, he was not destroyed by the season because he learned four things. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to run through these kind of quickly, okay? But I'm going to give you guys, I wanted to talk about this today to give you guys a little bit of sneak peek into something that's coming up soon, which is our retreat, okay? The retreat that we have coming up soon is actually going to deal very specifically with the subject of how to deal with the emptiness that so many of us often feel. We're going to talk about, like I said, like a high level, but the more detail will come at those retreats. Here we're just going to look at what St. Paul says. How to cope with loneliness. Number one, utilize my time. And I wish I would have put up there wisely. Utilize my time wisely. St. Paul was in a bad situation, but he knew that he should make the best of his bad situation. This is the old, if life gives you lemons, make lemonade. Look what he says in verse 13. He's down, he's depressed, he's in a difficult situation, but he says, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas when you come, and the books, especially the parchments. St. Paul figured, since I'm here, I might as well ask for some things that'll make my prison cell a little more cozy, okay? And make my time here a little more enjoyable. Granted, it'll never be enjoyable, but at least there'll be certain things around me that I can use my time in a beneficial way. The first thing that you see right here is he resisted the temptation to do what so many of us do when we're in this period, which is, woe is me, and throw myself a pity party. And I'm miserable, and I don't even want to be happy. Don't try to cheer me up. I'm miserable, just let me be miserable, and I just feel sorry for myself, and woe is me, and all this kind of stuff. St. Paul said, I'm in a bad situation, but what can I do to make it into a better situation? First thing he says is, bring my cloak. Why he said, bring my cloak? What do you think he means by that? What's the spiritual, what can we like get from bring my cloak? Prisons were dark, they were damp, they were cold places. What St. Paul is basically saying here, he's an old man right at this point in time. I'm cold. Okay? I'm cold, and every night I sleep cold. And you know when it's damp and it's cold, you catch a sinus or a nose or something. So he's saying, bring me something to keep me a little bit warm. There's an important principle right here that St. Paul hits on, which is that oftentimes when we're emotionally down, we physically go down as well. Your physical state will do a lot to impact your emotional state. And St. Paul knew that even though he was emotionally down, I got to pick myself up physically in order to lift myself up emotionally. The truth of human beings is that when we're sad or when we're depressed or when we're lonely, we stop taking care of ourselves. We stop eating. Or some of us, the other extreme, we eat everything in sight. Okay? Who cares about my diet? I just eat anything in sight. I'm miserable. I have a right to do whatever I want. Or, like I said, we go to the other extreme. We don't work out. We don't sleep enough. Or we sleep too much. Or whatever it may be. We stop caring about ourselves. St. Paul didn't do that. And he knows that your physical can affect your emotional. The other thing he says, he doesn't just go physical, he says, bring me my books. He goes intellectual as well. He realized that he had a unique opportunity here. St. Paul. Okay, you know that St. Paul was the greatest missionary in the history of the world. St. Paul could never, ever, like I always think to myself, I'm in line at Giant, okay, or Wegmans, and there's the guy in front of me, and what would St. Paul do if he was here? I often think to myself, what would St. Paul do? And St. Paul would never let an opportunity go. He would stand up on the cash register and call the people together, and he would announce to everyone the good news and salvation and make sure everyone knows. The other day on Friday, Abunim Shoy and the group from Africa, they just came back from their trip. So I went to the airport to go meet them. And I think, I don't know, no one here was there. So something strange, in the international departures, there was like a little section, okay, that was kind of like quarantined off there, where there was all these cameras, probably like 15, 20 video cameras, and there was like a stand with like a stand like this, had like six microphones, as if there was going to be like a press conference. And there was all these Asian photographers all around snapping and stuff like that. So I was sitting there waiting, his flight got delayed. So I was talking to Peter Samaran, and I was telling him, How much you give me to go up there and just start preaching a sermon? We were bored, okay? And he wouldn't give me enough to make it worth my time. But I was thinking to myself, what would St. Paul do if he was here? St. Paul would absolutely. He would pretend as if he's the guy who's supposed to be there and say, okay, turn on the cameras, and he would start preaching. And he would share. Why not? He had an open audience. Okay, who knows? Could have been an international audience for all we know. St. Paul never sat down in a chair. He took every opportunity to preach the gospel. But St. Paul did something that's very important. He wrote half the New Testament. Okay? Half the New Testament is thanks to the writings of St. Paul. How did St. Paul find the time to write half the New Testament? Easy. God sent him to jail. Because God knew. If St. Paul wasn't in jail, he'd have never wrote half the New Testament. And what St. Paul did as a missionary and as a preacher was excellent. And he preached to so many people. But what he did in his writings is immortal. Because it lives for all of eternity. And God knew the only way to get St. Paul to sit down and write something down was to handcuff him to a chair. Because he's never going to sit down. He's always out and about. St. Paul understood this. That's why when he was forced to sit down, he said, instead of being bitter that I can't do the one thing that I love to do, he said, wait a minute. How can I take advantage of this time? How can I still be the same missionary? How can I make even a better contribution to the world? Look, that's different than the way a lot of us do it. A lot of us look at loneliness this time and say, this is the worst time. I'm miserable. Until God fixes it, I'm on strike against God. I can't do anything. St. Paul said, how can I make the most out of this time and utilize this time? What you will discover, what St. Paul discovered, is that his time of misery was actually a time of great benefit to so many other people. And so many people across the world and generation upon generation is thankful for St. Paul's loneliness because something really good came out of it. And something good, really good, can come out of your loneliness as well if you'll understand these principles. Number two, St. Paul did, that I need to do to cope with loneliness is let go of my hurt. What you see that St. Paul did, okay, like I said, people had hurt him. And what we often do when people hurt us, and we're alone, and we're rejected, or opposed us and that, we just think over and over, oh, when I get out of here, what I'm going to do to that guy? Or what this guy did to me, is, and I'm going to this, and I'm going to that. And we just, over and over in our mind, recount the scene of what they did, and what he did, and what she said, and all this kind of stuff. That only leads to being a bitter, resentful, miserable person in life. Look what St. Paul did in 2 Timothy chapter 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me, may it not be charged against them. Look what he says there. No one stood with me, they all forsook me, and then the strange line, may it not be charged against them. Is this what you would say? I don't think this is what I would say. I would say, remember, St. Paul, what he's saying, at my first offense, no one stood with me. St. Paul went and preached to a city. He baptized all these people. He gave them salvation. He was their master. They were his disciples. He did everything for them. He taught them. They were like his children. He raised them. He gave them everything. Then it came time that he needed someone to stand over there and defend him. And they said, any witnesses to defend the man? And everyone just looked around and he's looking at them. You, I saved your life. You, I saved you when you were in this miserable situation. I gave you eternal salvation. Everyone just looking around and everyone left him and no one paid any attention to him. My first offense, no one stood with me, all forsook me. What should that last sentence say? Well, if it was the story of Abuna Anthony, it would say, no one stood with me, all forsook me. Those jerks, may you repay them 1,000,000-fold and 10,000,000-fold for what they did to me. None of us would say, may not be charged against them. None of us would say that. None of us would say that. Every one of us would say, make sure they pay for it. We would say, vengeance, the Lord says, vengeance is mine. Get him, God. Lightning bolt, get him. Or make him pay for it somewhere down the road. St. Paul said, you know what? What happened happened. Let it go, God. May not be charged against them. See the difference? What we do, the closest thing that we do, which we don't even really do it sincerely, may God forgive them. Okay? But you know the difference between may not charge against them, and may God forgive them for what they did. Okay? We're not really praying for their forgiveness. Okay? So we're using it backwards. That's as close as we think, like we try to get to this. But St. Paul really meant it. He really meant it. He's saying, this guy totally left me. You know what? Let it go. Let's move on. And he doesn't mention them again. When you go through that lonely time, do you choose to replay the event over and over and just get more and more angry? Or you do like St. Paul? Let it go and move on. Not only did he let it go, number three, he looked outside of himself and looked to the needs of others. He looked to the needs of others. This is the one that's truly amazing. Because the one who is now hurting sought to help those who are in need. The one who needs someone to listen to him sought to open his ear and listen to others. Look at verse 17, what it says. The Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that the message might fully be preached through me and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. What is St. Paul saying right here? He was not focused just on his situation. He's saying, even though everyone forsook me and everyone left me, you know what? That guy in the back got to hear the gospel. And that lady over there who needed healing, she found healing this day. The Lord stood with me and a Gentile was converted. St. Paul, in a crazy way, when he was being beaten, was trying to comfort. And when he was being struck down, was trying to lift up. And when he was being bad-mouthed, was trying to encourage. Amazing, when you look at it, that he was so unfocused on himself. When everyone was being a bad friend to him, he was focused on being a good friend to all the other people around him. Because he was able to do those, utilize his time, let go of the hurt, look to the needs of others, he got 1 + 2 + 3, leads to the fourth step, which is where he recognized God's presence. Okay? Because he responded the right way to loneliness, like that verse said, look at the beginning part and then we'll read verse 18. The Lord stood with me. Remember in the beginning, he said, no one stood with me. Everyone forsook me. Ah, but one guy didn't forsake me. Who? The Lord. And he strengthened me so the message might be fully preached. If you skip down, end of verse 17. I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Look, here's the best thing in the whole wide world. And this actually is the theme of the retreat that we're going to take. Is that when you're loneliest, and when there's no one around, and when everyone has left you, where's God? Right next to you. If you don't believe me, look at two verses right here that say those exact same thing. First, from John chapter 14, verse 18. The Lord promises, I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. It's a promise. Matthew 28, 20. The Lord's last words on this earth. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Even if you don't feel it, even if you don't see it, even if you've never experienced it once in your life, the times when you go through the most difficulty and the most loneliness and the most can be the time where you experience God the most as well. That's what St. Paul happened to St. Paul. He didn't have this guy or that guy or that guy to stand with him, but he had one guy to stand with him. And who was that guy? Oh, that happens to be the Lord Almighty, the God of gods and the King of kings and the Creator of the universe, stood by him, strengthened him, and delivered him from the mouth of the lion. We don't know what it means that he was delivered from the mouth of the lion. We don't know if it was a physical lion or a spiritual lion. But either way, it's a good thing to be delivered from the mouth of a lion. And that's what happened to St. Paul. Loneliness is inevitable in life. Okay? Like I said, it may not be raining on your day today, but it may be raining tomorrow or the next day. And the wise one is the one who is going to be prepared when it's sunny for the rainy day. How you prepare, or what you need to do, you need to remember to utilize your time. Let go of whatever may have happened. Look outside of yourself to the needs of others. And let that lead you to recognizing God's presence. If that happens, then what happens is God does things 180. He turns the rainy season. And in the middle of the rain, then remember how I said in the beginning, it's sunny for everyone else and rainy on you? Then what's going to happen, like it was for St. Paul, is everywhere was rainy, but there's a little pocket of sun. And everywhere that he went, there's a nice verse, I think it's in Psalm 84. It says, "The Lord God is a sun and a shield. No good thing does he withhold from those who protect him, or from those who walk uprightly. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly." The Lord God, to St. Paul, was a sun and a shield. Even though no one else stood by him, there was one guy who stood by him, and that was the Lord Almighty. And if you understand these things, utilize your time, let go, don't focus on yourself, focus on others, you will experience the presence of God in a special way, and you'll be able to say what St. Paul said during this lonely time as well. Okay? Like I said, I was just trying to whet the appetite for those who are going on the retreat. As we talk on the retreat, we're really going to talk about point number four here. The theme of the retreat is how to recognize God's presence, okay? How to experience God's presence, especially when we go through those kinds of lonely or difficult times, okay? Let's stand up for a prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. We thank you, our dear Heavenly Father, because you are not the God of the dead, but you are God of the living. And you are a sun and a shield, and you are a protection for all those who call upon your holy and blessed name. Lord, you have promised us that you will never leave us alone, and that you will always be with us even to the end of the ages. Lord, I pray that you would always allow us to keep our eyes focused on you, never focusing on ourselves or our own rainy situation. We keep our eyes always looking up to you, knowing, dear Lord, that no matter what we go through, as long as we go through it with you, everything will be okay. Thank you, dear Lord, because you stand by us, because you strengthen us, because you encourage us. Please, dear Lord, give us special strength and courage, and whatever it may need be for anyone who's going through that rainy season right now, through our Lord, our God, our Savior, and our King Jesus Christ, with the intercessions and prayers of our Holy Mother, the Mother of Light, St. Mary, and the prayers of all of your saints, hear us as we pray thankfully. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Through Christ Jesus our Lord, thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.